Fuck the French. Everybody, and welcome to episode 22 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, joined once again by the Wilson to my Chuck, Brian. Brian, how are we doing tonight?
I've been better.
Okay.
But I've been much worse.
Well,
you know,
so kind of in the middle ground, if you will.
I'm on the, I've been recovering. I know that the listeners heard about some of my recent struggles, which I had specifically asked you not to talk about on the podcast. So,
well, first, I'm a little upset with you. I'm curious to see if you got my reference with the Chuck and Wilson at the intro.
No, not at all.
Really?
Yes.
Chuck was Tom Hanks' character in Castaway. Wilson was the volleyball.
And that's
really how I felt last week. I felt like a castaway. I felt like I was out, and I was just screaming, Brian, Brian. And there was no Brian on the horizon.
An asshole. Okay.
Speaking of which, how is your asshole?
Okay. And this is my issue with you.
Okay.
Is that your chief complaint this week is in reference to having to spend an hour podcast last week by yourself, talking in the comfort of your own house, sitting in a chair that you could relax in. I spent the past 10 days in a Kenyan rehab facility because we've spoken about this on the podcast. We've spoken about it off the podcast. I have been underemployed lately. And due to the American health insurance system and the medical, you know, or as I like to call it, the meta-don't industry, I had to go overseas for what I think is a very standard procedure.
Okay.
Recently, you were the one that brought it to my attention about, you know, a year and a half ago. We were at our Tuesday salsa dance class, and you said to me, Brian, I noticed that, I hope don't take this the wrong way, but I noticed that your butt is starting to look a little flabby.
I did say that. Guilty as charged.
And I had been working on trying to get my butt thick.
With multiple C's.
Four C's.
Yes.
Okay. I had been working very hard. I had been doing squats like I was a cheerleader. I was doing, I wanted a thick ass. And I went to my doctor and I said, Jorge, can we set this thing up? And well, because of the system that we have set up here, that's something called, and I don't know if you've heard this, I don't know if this is a term that is tossed around the American society, but Dr. Jorge said to me that this was an elective procedure. Now, I had never heard that term before.
No?
I said, what do you mean by elective procedure? My butt is flabby. I need a thick ass because that's what the guys are interested now. And how am I, if I go to the gym and guys aren't looking at me, then what am I bringing to the table? If I don't have a thick ass and thick thighs that could crunch walnuts with them, well, then I'm just going to die alone. So he said to me, well, there's nothing that we can do here. It's going to cost you $48,000, which I don't have due to my employment situation.
It's a little pricey.
So I did some research and I found a very, very helpful doctor in Kenya, the capital, Nairobi, Dr. Nick Riviera. And he said to me that this was something he did all the time. It was going to cost $450.
That's and, a bargain.
And this was the other thing that I liked about it. It required one day of rest after, and I could fly home literally within 48 hours of the surgery.
Okay. All sounding good so far.
It was exactly what I wanted to hear. So I flew to Kenya. By the way, terrible flight. I sat next to a man who was holding a chicken. Then I asked for my seat to be upgraded. Had to pay $4. Got my seat upgraded. Now I was sitting in business class next to a man with a goat. And as we were crossing the Atlantic, he sacrificed the goat in a religious ceremony. I tried to complain, but they said that since we were in international waters, he was allowed to do that.
It's fair game.
Freedom of religion. So I'm covered in goat's blood. There was a layover in Munich for probably about 4.5 hours before we finally was able to catch my connecting flight to Nairobi. And this is where my story goes a little off the rails.
Okay.
Okay. And this was the part where I had said to you, please don't talk about. Can you just tell people that I was, doing something, something crazy that people just believe, like I was on tour with a rock band. I said, please, just tell them that. Instead, you told them, I heard it on the podcast, you discussed how my left butt cheek had started to rot due to the substance that they had. I mean, I didn't know. I was offered some options in terms of the substance that they were going to use. Silicone, a little out of my price range. So what we went with was a wet cement mix that was going to be in a seal-proof Ziploc bag that was going to be inserted inside of both butt cheeks. The before and after photos of previous patients that he showed me. I mean, this guy had done work for, Hollywood celebrities such as Kim Kardashian and Jennifer Lopez. And I said, Dr. Nick, this is great. Let's do this. So he used the concrete mix, and apparently my body rejected it.
Sounds that way.
Unfortunate. So my left butt cheek started to rot immediately. The right butt cheek, it was more of like the wound wouldn't heal and was just seeping out the concrete mix. Apparently the Ziploc bag had exploded. The gangrenous skin that was spreading from the left butt cheek took over my taint. And this is one of the things, another bone I have to pick with you, is that you said that you wanted to start a hashtag, Brian's Titanium Taint.
Well, to support you.
But in my current medical situation, I can't afford titanium. So currently my taint is comprised of pressed cardboard that has been folded a couple times. I change it every 4 hours. And I put a maxi pad on underneath the cardboard to soak up as Dr. Nick refers to it, to soak up the sweating.
You know, there's a term in the English language, us English majors, like, it's called alliteration, when the first sound of a couple of words is the same. So I thought titanium taint it was very alliterative. I wasn't 100% certain what the material was. And to be honest, I don't remember you mentioning not to say anything. I don't recall.
Ron, I've been collecting Kleenex boxes for the past 2 months because he said to me, you're not going to get the titanium taint. Bring cardboard boxes. So I've been hitting every supermarket before they close, asking if they have any throwaways. And I'm just folding it and folding and folding it, tucking it right upside my nutsack.
But how are you doing otherwise is the question.
I can we start off with the beef of the week? Are you prepared?
I mean, if you would like, we can certainly do that.
My beef of the week.
Hold on. Wait for it. It's the favorite part of the show. I know it is. Yours and mine. Beef of the week. All right, so why don't you start off, Brian?
Okay, I'm going to start off right now and say that my beef of the week is a Polish princess.
The polished princess.
No, I made the Polish princess.
Oh, you made the Polish princess. Okay.
Yes, I made the Polish princess because the Polish princess has something. It's got vanilla, vodka. It's got simple syrup, which had to be made. It required pumpkin spice that required me to pay $5 to the guy behind the counter at Starbucks to get my hands on, because none of my supermarkets sell the stuff.
Really? Not even this time of year?
No, because we're not basic, okay? Maybe the people who live by you are basic. But I had to say to the guy, if I buy a cup of coffee, can you just put the spice in it? And he was just like, well, yeah. And I paid $5. Asshole. Then it's got lemon juice and muddled cranberries.
Right.
Okay. The piece de resistance of the Polish princess is a goddamn egg white.
Yes.
Now, I hard boiled some eggs earlier today because I said I've got to put egg whites in. And
it's not a hard boiled egg white.
Well, how do I know that? I just naturally assumed. Nobody would eat a raw fucking egg. I mean, people are going to the hospital for this shit. So I started by muddling the cranberries, which are literally just like little stones. I don't even know how I'm going to pass this stuff through my kidney. Then I added the simple syrup. I added the pumpkin spice, muddled a little more. Now, this wasn't just slapping cranberries against my palm.
No, this is actual muddling what you're doing.
The egg white, you whip it around. This is a disgusting. I haven't even tried it, and I'm offended by the polished princess.
But for those of you that remember from a few weeks back, Brian dropped the ball on whatever that drink of the week was. In fact, I'm even drawing a blank on what it was.
It was the Capriani.
Capriana?
Because I would not make the. I forgot to buy the conchata or whatever that was.
I gotcha. So you decided to accept your punishment. So Jocelyn put forward the tropical storm elderflower, but you know, I found that polished princess drink. I just googled pumpkin spice cocktails, and like most of them were heavy on the pumpkin. What I liked about the polished princess is that the pumpkin spice was kind of an afterthought to everything else that went in there, and it did sound horrible. The ingredients.
Do you have yours?
You told me I did not need to drink the punishment drink, so.
Oh, you scumbag. You scumbag.
Plus, where am I going to find pumpkin spice?
I fucking hate you. All right, here we go.
Down bottoms up, my friend. I'm watching him as he drinks. Well, you're not recoiling in disgust. You look a little confused.
I'm going to say this.
Right.
I feel like I just swallowed a load. Texture.
Texture-wise.
Just the texture feels like I swallowed a load. I taste heavy on the vanilla vodka.
Okay.
Cranberries, don't taste it. Pumpkin spice, don't taste. Taste lemon juice.
Okay. Do you taste, what else was in there? You taste simple the syrup. Simple syrup? I guess the sweet. Simple syrup really just accents the vanilla in the vodka.
See, I thought that the simple syrup would accent the bitterness of the cranberry. And the pumpkin spice was just thrown on top to just cause me to be furious.
All right, taking another drink there, a big drink. Finish it up like a man.
Fuck. Okay, let's move on. What's your beef of the week, Ron?
My beef of the week right now is just this in-between summer-fall weather time frame we're in. Where it's like 40 degrees when I walk out of the house in the morning and 80 degrees when I leave work. So I just don't know if I should bring a coat, not bring a coat. All things considered, it's not a bad beef to have. Not like your beef.
I'm doing this podcast laying down. All right? So if my voice trails off at times, it's just because I can only lay on my side for so long. Sometimes I have to roll over onto my back. So that's why sometimes it may sound like I'm talking from far away, but then I'll roll back onto my side next to the microphone. So I would imagine my voice would get a little bit louder.
Don't get the sound cables tied up with like your IV tubes and whatnot. That would be bad.
My rectum prolapsed. Then I put it back in, and then it relapsed.
It's a lot of lapsing going on.
Well, there was a lapse of judgment. when you made me make a polished princess.
So, Brian, I feel you have properly served your drink of the week punishment, and I applaud you for that.
All right.
So now we can go back to a regular drink of the week activity. So, as always, if you have any suggestions as to what you would like us to drink next week, hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We'll repeat this often through the show, but give us some suggestions. Maybe we'll throw the Tropical Storm Elderflower back out there just for shits and giggles.
Because I know you'd
hate that also. All right, let's move on. A little This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
Racism.
All right, and our winner from last week is the Wrigley Field Racist. In case you missed the episode, we'll give you a little flashback as to his audio.
Recording it. You did the first punch. You do the first punch. Beaters, Smith. Don't record me.
Put your phone away.
All right, and the Wrigley Field Racist has now been identified as Ahmad Damra, member of the Indiana National Guard. So. Haven't heard anything additional yet. I know the National Guard has investigated this situation. But he is our winner, knocking off the Hoover City School District. We did have a bit of a short week this week. Not a ton of racism out there to consider, but we did have a few instances out in Appalachian State University in a tunnel leading from the dorms to the main campus. Someone painted a Nazi flag and the words, "Hail Hitler, the Holocaust was a good thing." This is the same campus that had a banner hung by a white supremacist group on campus last August. You have Escondido High School in San Diego County. You have about 10 students who posed with letters on their shirts to spell out racial and anti-gay slurs for photos during a senior picnic. The students apparently have been given some pre-approved words to spell out, and then it got a little out of hand. Going over to Ohio, you have GOP congressional candidate Beverly Goldstein. She's running for Ohio's 11th district seat in the House of Representatives, and she commented on Twitter regarding a recently passed ordinance that prevents discrimination on the basis of sexual preference and gender identity or expression. She claimed that the ordinance passing was due to illiteracy in the area. Quote, "If Cuyahoga County Council had literate inner city church attending black voters following this issue, that would equate to an entirely opposite outcome." But our racist of the week this week, so good that it's one of the few candidates we've had in history that had no audio to back this up, but everything's been verified in the papers. This is Lindsay Plasko Flaxman, Tribeca mother of two. Tried to send a text to her husband, Joel Plasko, upon meeting their new nanny, Giselle Maurice, and the text said, "No, another black person." But instead of sending that to her husband, she actually sent it to the nanny, Giselle. Twice. And then when she realized what she had done, she fired Giselle because she felt, quote, uncomfortable. Her excuse was that their outgoing nanny had been African-American and had done a bad job, and they were expecting a Filipino. Giselle is now suing the couple for discrimination and seeking compensation for the 6 months that she was going to be working and living with the family. Brian, thoughts on our racist of the week?
What I like about her as a candidate is that here's a woman who is hiring nannies. So right off the bat, she's sitting there saying, "I don't want to take on my own responsibilities. I want to have a kid, but I don't want to raise the kid. I want somebody else to do that for me." So right off the bat, that's one strike against this woman.
Okay.
Next strike is she's texting. Who texts anymore? It's all about the Facebook Messenger.
Is it?
It's all about the Google Hangouts. All right?
All right.
Text is dead.
Text email is dead.
Ron, email. Email is the future form of communication. You know, they've got these free services like Gmail. There's a hot new product on the market now called AOL, where for free, you don't even have to pay anything, they will just allow you to send communiques to other people across the internet, and it saves a copy of it. Sounds secure to me. I mean, no one's going to be able to break into it and release them, which, you know, spreading, you know, secrets and, you know, conspiracy theories that you have tried to keep down. Yeah, email. That's the way to go. So first off, so second of all, nobody texts. Third, why would she think that a Filipino nanny would be better than an African-American nanny? That's the part I don't get.
So that's where she loses you also?
Should have gone the au pair route, if you had to ask me. Get a nice late teenage young woman from a Scandinavian company. I mean, let's just break down the two words. Au pair, nanny. Let's do that again. Au pair.
Okay, au pair.
Nanny.
Nanny.
I mean, it's such a nicer word, au pair. So just for myself, I know that I could use some help around the house. So it got me thinking. I placed an ad on a au pair website, and my ad said no child involved. And I've gotten quite a few submissions.
To take care of you just during while you're laid up, or to take care of you in general?
In general. Right. Now would definitely be a good time. I could definitely use that.
So while you were laid up over there in Kenya, were you able to keep up with any of the news going on in the good old United States?
Oh, Ronald, I'm going to tell you something. The Nairobi media has, I don't know whether they are giving the honest truth, but they do not report on fake news.
No, they don't.
They talked about the weather. They talked about the drought. They talked about the famine. Very little about the Honorable Brett Kavanaugh, which we all know. I mean, man is, you know, he's an amazing man, and the charges against him are fake news. So they don't even cover that kind of stuff.
Did you follow any of it actually, or just were you drugged up most of the time?
I the painkillers helped. But I was in too much discomfort to have the TV on. So I was hoping that you would be able to bring me up to speed.
So, yeah, obviously the big news that's been going on this past week is the confirmation hearings for Brett Kavanaugh, where they let his accuser, Dr. Ford, testify in front of the Senate committee. The Republicans, senators on the committee were basically too gutless to question Dr. Ford themselves, so they brought in a special prosecutor for some unknown reason to ask some very weird questions. But they also used her to ask weird questions to Brett Kavanaugh, who, as we found...
I liked beer.
He likes beer.
I liked beer.
I like beer. I like sitting around with my friends, and I like beer.
I liked beer.
See, I've been working on that just for you, my friend.
I love it. I love it. I didn't know you were going to do impressions.
But I just want to play the full beer answer, because I feel you can just, this really is a microcosm of how this guy's mind works.
Dr. Ford has described you as being intoxicated at a party. Did you consume alcohol during your high school years?
Yes, we drank beer. My friends and I, the boys and girls. Yes, we drank beer. I liked beer, still like beer. We drank beer. The drinking age, as I noted, was 18, so the seniors were legal. Senior year in high school, people were legal to drink. And we drank beer. And I said sometimes probably had too many beers, and sometimes other people had too many beers. We drank beer. We liked beer.
What do you consider to be too many beers?
I don't know. Whatever the chart says on your blood alcohol chart.
I like beer. I go by the blood alcohol chart.
We drink beer.
We like beer. And I'm a grown-ass man trying to be on the highest court in the land, and I can't give you an answer as to how many beers or too many beers.
All right. May I ask you questions?
Certainly.
All right. So Trump nominates this guy for the Supreme Court, tries to rush him through.
Yes.
Now... The idea here is that a woman stepped forward and said that when she was in high school, or was it college?
The initial accuser was high school.
The one that gave the testimony.
Correct.
So she's at a high school party. Was she drinking?
I don't know if she was drinking or not. I don't recall that part of her testimony.
What are the allegations that she made against Kavanaugh?
So the allegations that she made is that Kavanaugh and his friend Mark Judge, who I really loved when he did Beavis and Butthead,
got a clever show. Clever show. Yes.
Apparently she ended up alone in a room with them. Kavanaugh came onto her, forced himself on her. When she tried to stop him, allegedly pinned her down, covered her mouth, and she said she was afraid for her life at that point, that he may accidentally kill her.
So he covers her mouth. So was there anything sexual going on at the moment?
I believe she said that, he was groping her, he was grinding against her, but she somehow managed to get out of that situation.
How old were they at the time?
She was 15. Kavanaugh was 17.
And he was drinking beer.
He was drinking beer because
he likes beer.
I liked beer.
What does he like?
I liked beer.
Does he love beer?
I like beer.
Does he love beer?
I love beer. But since there has been a number of other people have come out. There was a woman during college claimed that he pulled his pants down and forced his penis into her face. A lot of people are saying that he was a mean drunk, a blackout drunk. I know when the allegations first arose from Dr. Ford, there was a letter. And obviously, people knew that this could come out because there was a letter signed by 65 women backing Brett Kavanaugh's character that came out like the following day. And then as more accusations came out against him, a lot of those women kind of walked that back and were like, maybe they should investigate him. Some of his college classmates were like, yeah, he could be a bit of a dick when he drank. So, a lot of organizations are going against policy to push for an FBI investigation. The ACLU typically doesn't sound off on these kind of things. They've asked for it. The American Bar Association has never in their history gotten involved in a Supreme Court confirmation situation. They have asked for an FBI investigation. And so, what happened at the end of last week is Jeff Flake had commented that he was going to vote to get Kavanaugh out of committee and to go before the full Senate vote. He was confronted while getting on an elevator later that day by two activists, Anna Maria Archila and Maria Gallagher, who both relayed stories of their sexual abuse and how it had impacted them and how it would impact them for someone like Kavanaugh to be sitting on the Supreme Court. And I don't, did you have a chance to see that video at all yet?
No, not at all.
It's incredibly moving video. I mean, not just from the stories of the two women, but the thing that I noticed is the absolute shame in Jeff Flake's face sitting there having to listen to it. And then he came out the following day saying they should postpone the vote for a week. There should be an FBI investigation. And now he has come out further to say, because there had been word that, Trump was and the White House was trying to limit the FBI investigation and, who they were going to interview. And Flake basically came out and said, we should have a full investigation. We shouldn't try and rush this through, and he's one of the votes that could easily derail this whole confirmation.
Who is Flake?
Jeff Flake is one of the senators from Arizona.
Is he a Republican or a Democrat?
He is a Republican, but he's also, he is not going for re-election. He's been someone who has been critical about President Trump from the beginning. He is someone that, learned under the tutelage of Senator McCain, and I feel, you know, in looking at this situation, he may just be having a bit of a crisis of conscience, knowing that, you know, this really needs to be looked into before moving forward on a vote.
You know, it's hard for me to. Listen, we were both in college. I didn't, you know, I like beer now.
Do you like beer or?
I liked beer.
I like beer.
I liked beer in college. I never sexually assaulted anyone when I was in college, but I did drink a lot of beer and I blacked out a couple times.
As you have mentioned on this very podcast.
That I have. Thanks for actually listening and paying attention. I appreciate
sure.
that.
No problem.
But I just think it's a little odd that. I'm struggling to come up with a nicer way of saying this, but I genuinely am conflicted on this, because on one hand, this is the Supreme Court, it's a lifetime nominee, and you want people with the with impeccable character. You want people with impeccable character who are going to represent the entire judicial sector of this government for the rest of their lives. I get that. And at the same time, I also get the idea of that this guy did something when he was 30 years ago, and now we're punishing him for it. And it seems just like he's falling into that, he's kind of falling into that Me Too trap, which is going on, which is that, you know, if there are allegations, let's automatically assume guilt and punish the guy.
But don't you think in looking at the way that he's handled the entire situation?
Oh, he's Trump's guy. He's handling it exactly the way Trump would. It's the Trump policy book, which is, regardless of what you're accused of, deny and deny louder.
In addition to, the one allegation was, yes, 30 years ago, but now we're dealing with allegations from college. Now, you know, there are other things out there that may or may not come out in the investigation. You know, who's to say that it hasn't, you know, who's to say it stopped in college? Who's to say that there aren't people that aren't coming forward or have been paid off not to come forward or are too scared to come forward?
It is the problem of women have suffered for centuries about this. Men have been able to get away with abhorrent behavior for centuries, which is the fact that it boils down to a he said, she said. And as a society, for hundreds of years, we have not believed the women. And now, over the course of 18 months, it's a rush to judgment on behalf of the women, except when the Republican Party has something to gain by it.
Well, I don't know that it was necessarily, I don't think it was ever intended to be a rush to judgment. I think the rush only came about because, you know, the GOP senators wanted to try and rush a vote as much as possible.
That's the rush. It's the fact that, I mean, I believe there should be a full FBI investigation. And the rush is that the original direction from the White House was you are allowed to talk to four people and four people only. And that's it. Kavanaugh's not one of them. Dr. Ford is. The friend is not. And you're not allowed to talk to any other women who might possibly step forward and say that Kavanaugh did something against them. Like, that's the rush to judgment. The rush to judgment is Donald Trump saying that they have to wrap this up within a week.
And I think what else, you know, on top of these allegations against him, and all right, let's go out on a limb and say that these allegations against him have no basis whatsoever. You know, his statement the other day of was so paranoid, bitter, and partisan that alone should disqualify him from holding a role where he's supposed to be, you know, impartial as much as possible. We're looking into the possibility that he may have perjured himself in some of the answers that he gave in front of Congress.
You're saying he did not like beer?
I think, well, let me ask him. I like beer.
I like
but,
it.
But, you know, there's a number of statements that he made that are now coming across as, you know, not being right. He said, you know, he said he was legally drinking, but the drinking age in Maryland was changed the summer before he turned 18. He wasn't grandfathered in. You know, he said he got into Yale by his own hard work. Well, he was actually a legacy student. His grandfather went to Yale. You know, there's more text messages coming out. That apparently, you know, Kavanaugh and his lawyers, you know, contacted some old classmates in an effort to discredit Deborah Ramirez. She's the person that came forward and said that he stuck his genitals in her face. So, I mean, he was already going on the offensive behind the scenes. He's tampering with witnesses in this instance, allegedly. You know, is that the kind of person you want on the highest court in the land? I think when you add up all these things... I mean, despite the fact...
I liked beer.
It doesn't, you know, that's the only thing he has going for him is, I like beer. He lied about what boofing and Devil's Triangle is.
What?
He said, people asked him about what boofing and Devil's Triangle meant because those were in his yearbook.
What is boofing?
Well, he said boofing referred to as fluctuation. We were 18-year-old kids. Whereas that's actually a sexual reference. And then the Devil's Triangle is, I believe boofing is anal sex. And really? Then Devil's Triangle is a three-way with two men and a woman.
Well, that I'm very familiar with.
But he said, Devil's Triangle, I like beer. I don't know, Devil.
Liked beer?
I liked beer. Devil's Triangle. I like beer. That's all I'm going to say. Question from the senator is, why did it reference a donkey punch in your school yearbook? You know, we used to go to the arcade and we played Donkey Kong and we'd get mad and we'd punch the screen. That's what that was. We called that our donkey punch because we were virgins and, you know, we would just go to the arcade. And why does it reference an angry dragon? You know, we would go, there was a Chinese restaurant next to the arcade. And, you know, if we got so frustrated that we broke the machine with our donkey punch, we would go next door and have a number 7, which was the angry dragon. And then we'd go drink because...
I liked beer.
Yes, I like beer. That's the other thing, too. When have you ever seen a Supreme Court nominee go on Fox News to... you know, deliver political propaganda and also say that, hey, I couldn't have assaulted anyone. I was a virgin.
Oh, that you see, this is where you have to update me. Who's talking about virgins?
He was.
I don't know this. I don't know any of this. Like, that's why I need you. Like he said he was a virgin.
He literally went on Fox News with his wife sitting next to him and said, you know, that he was a virgin throughout high school. So he obviously, you know, couldn't have tried to, you know, sexually or molest someone because he was a virgin. Because Lord knows virgins don't, you know, don't get sexually frustrated at all, especially in high school.
And I have another question about him.
Okay.
What is the deal with the calendar?
He also claimed that he had a calendar from 1982 that showed that he couldn't have been at the party that Dr. Ford said he was at when he accosted her.
All right.
So how many of your calendars from your teenage years do you hold on to?
None.
But now, apparently, this was a quirk of his because his father kept calendars, and so he did keep calendars. But the funny thing is the calendar actually disproves some of the statements he made during his testimony.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
It seems like it's just a total shit show.
It is. I mean, it's a total shit show. You know, and people need to push to really keep this guy off of the bench because, you know, there are, and I think part of what the rush is to get this guy confirmed and get him seated is you have two very interesting cases on the docket for the Supreme Court coming up in October. One is a case that could potentially reverse Roe v. Wade.
Right.
And then the second one, would, you know, remove the legal precedent where, you know, let's say someone is indicted and convicted on a federal level and gets pardoned by the president, they can still then be tried on the state level by state prosecutors.
Okay.
This case going in front of the Supreme Court would remove that. So if you were convicted on a federal level and the president pardons you, you can't be charged after that.
All righty.
So it's two very interesting cases that they want this guy to be able to hear and vote on, given the current political climate.
Well, I'm going to say this. This guy doesn't belong in the Supreme Court. However, if he doesn't make it, the next candidate's going to be just as bad.
I mean, it's true, you know, but hopefully...
I have no faith that Donald Trump is going to actually come out with somebody who is of high moral standards.
No, there's no question whatsoever. But if they feel that they need to put somebody more moderate up just to be able to get a vote, then maybe they do that. Or maybe we just end up going through this for the next 2 years.
Right.
You know, the other interesting thing is if midterms come, you know, and no one's voted on, you know, if Kavanaugh gets pulled or he doesn't get voted on or he doesn't make it, if the midterms come and Democrats take control of the Senate and or the House, that also changes the playing field.
No, that it does. That it does. All right. Interesting. Very interesting. Seems like a lot happened when when I was gone.
Yes.
Wow.
So you need to heal up. You need to catch up on all of the news. I assume you heard about Elon Musk as well.
Oh, don't tell me Musk is back in the news.
Of course he's back in the news.
Come on, Muskie.
So, well, first off, he is being sued by that British diver that Elon kept referring to as a pedophile during the cave boy rescue.
British diver!
So that finally happened.
Well, that was an eventuality.
Yes. And then also due to a lawsuit filed against Elon Musk and Tesla by the SEC due to the tweets that he had put out about taking the company private and having investors lined up and all that.
I remember this.
Yes. So they sued him because of it, because, you know, that's very illegal to make statements like that.
Okay.
So as a settlement, he will resign as CEO of Tesla. He will remain on as chairman, but he will also pay a $20 million fine, and Tesla will pay a $20 million fine as well.
So let me get this straight. He's gone?
Well, he will be gone as CEO, but he will still be chairman of the board of Tesla.
Okay. I guess CEO is more important than chairman, correct?
I am not.
Because isn't a chairman
smart
more
enough
of an oversight? Isn't it more of an oversight role?
But I believe if you're the chairman of the board, you can also remove the CEO. Like, the CEO is the chief executive officer who runs things, but the board also makes decisions as to how the companies run as well. So I feel like the chairman of the board position may be equal or a little bit higher than CEO. If there are any economics majors out there that would like to help us out on this,
reach out. I was just going to say there's only one chairman of the board.
That's right.
Okay, Frankie. Francis Albert.
That's right.
He is the only chairman of the board that I recognize. So if Elon Musk has stayed on as the chairman of the board of Tesla, I don't recognize that as as any type of official role.
And I don't even think he sings.
No.
So he's out $40 million between that. You know, the stocks had dropped 14% on Friday after the news of the SEC lawsuit. Now they are back. Oh, and actually, I had that backwards as I'm reading here now. Mr. Musk can remain as CEO, but he must give up the chairmanship for 3 years. So it's reverse that. He can't be chairman of the board. He can remain on as CEO. He can't be chairman for 3 years, and Tesla must appoint two new outside directors onto the board of directors and establish a greater oversight of Elon's public communications.
Okay, that makes sense.
And their stocks bounced back 17.4% on Monday after the settlement with the SEC came out.
So the stock is actually higher than before.
The stock is higher. It went up. It's back up over $300 as of Monday. So if you bought on Friday, you were a very happy person on Monday.
That's where I think that it's all part of his master evil plan.
It very well could be.
Like there's the swings of the valuation of this company. There's a lot of money being made at this moment, and if somebody who were in a position of control over the momentum of where this company is going were, I still think that he's making money for his evil lair.
It's very possible. You know, we have talked about him becoming a supervillain. I think maybe this just pushes him further down the line. In fact, I will go even further to say that he will not be alone. I think he will form his own Legion of Doom. And who will be the first other member that Elon Musk adds to the Legion of Doom, Brian?
Brett Kavanaugh.
I liked beer.
It just makes sense now, doesn't it?
Is he using past tense?
In that particular quote, he is, because he was saying he liked beer in the past.
I liked beer. I liked beer.
Is he drinking beer now?
We're not 100% certain. He was very evasive about his drinking habits.
All right.
So odds are he's a closet alcoholic.
He's just somebody who likes
allegedly.
Beer.
Do you like beer? Do you like Polish princesses?
No, I did not make a Polish princess. I made the Polish princess.
Sorry.
I found it absolutely disgusting.
I have nothing to say to that, but I enjoy your suffering.
Thank you.
I love you, but I enjoy your suffering.
I deserve it. I'm not going to lie. I thought I deserved a punishment. I did not think that I deserved this type of punishment.
Well, and this is how you learn, isn't it now? You won't do it again, will you?
No. What do I do with simple syrup? I'm just going to dump it out.
Simple syrup you can keep for 2 weeks.
I'm not going to use it again.
You're not going to use it again?
Well, what am I going to make with it?
I mean, there's a bunch of drinks you can make with simple syrup.
Is there anything non-alcoholic I can do with it?
Sure, you could use it to sweeten your iced tea, put it in your coffee.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, then I might save it.
You got to conserve. Use, don't throw away.
All right, there we go.
And also, it has just come out that Harvard says Brett Kavanaugh won't be teaching his 2019 Supreme Court class. He's been teaching the class on the High Court's modern history since 2009, but that will no longer happen.
Okay.
So we can't get rid of Kavanaugh soon enough.
Just yet, but we will eventually.
God willing.
He's going to die. He's going to die eventually.
But people out there need to reach out to the Jeff Flakes and the Susan Collins and the other one, whose name I'm drawing a blank on, the senator there.
Jeff Flake.
Jeff Flake, Collins, blah, blah, blah. The other one. Call him. All tell right. him to vote. Vote him out. Don't confirm. Kavanope, as people are saying.
Is that a hashtag?
Hashtag Kavanope, because we're silly with the hashtags around here.
There you go.
All right, Brian, we'll keep it short this week since you are healing. We'll be back next week with a full-sized episode. Again, we do have... This Week in Racism voting coming up, we'll have Lindsay Plasko Flaxman going up against Ahmad Damra. He's looking for his second win. Reach out to us for Drink of the Week suggestions. We'll be putting that poll up as well. Reach out to us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Ron and Brian Podcast at gmail.com. Visit Brian at his home. Reapply his taint bandage. Help the man out, would you? Brian, anything else you got this week?
Nope, that's it.
All right, good to have you back, and we will see you all again next week.